ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 That mantra signifies the absolute truth. His name is Vasudeva. He is all-pervading, and he is conscious of his position of all-pervading. When Prahlad was asked by his father, Hiranyakashipu, "Where is your God?" The young Prahlad said, "My God is everywhere." So that name, which signifies God is everywhere, Vasudeva. Everyone say?
Vasudeva.
Now, in order for me to do this katha properly, I have to take permission from my spiritual masters in disciplic succession. I will chant what is called Mula Mantras. I'm Gurave Namaha. Om Parama Gurave Namaha. Kling Nityanandaya Namaha. Kling Gauraya Namaha. Shring Kling Radha Krishnabhyam Namaha. And since we have the three deities, Balaram, Subhadra, Jagannath, they also have their Mula Mantras. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Hring Bhuvaneshra Namaha. Om Kling Krishnaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha. Then I must remember the instruction of my Ishtadev, Lord Chaitanya. Trinadapi Sunichena Tarariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama Harinama Harinamai Vakivalam Plu Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. And following in the footsteps of one of my favorite authors, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he worships and glorifies his readers. So you are my audience tonight, so I take permission from you. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyayavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Are you ready to hear this katha? This is from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Whatever I will say, I have heard from my spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, who accepted me as his disciple on April 16, 1974. And I'm trying to follow his instructions. He gave me one instruction: love Krishna. And the way to love Krishna is to hear and chant about him. So, this particular narration takes place in Dwaraka. Krishna, when he appeared 5,000 years ago, had pastimes in three different dhams: Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwaraka. And after Krishna married his first wife, actually, Krishna married 16,108 wives. His first wife was Rukmini. So you're going to hear tonight about Krishna's first son. Krishna had those 16,108 wives. With each wife, he had 10 sons and one daughter. Those 10 sons also had 10 sons. Talk about a joint family. Because all the wives had their own palace in Dwaraka. It was described by Shukadeva Goswami that during the day, one Krishna would be in Dwaraka doing various things, but in the evening, he would enter the security gate, which was where the 16,108 palaces were. And when he entered that security gate, one Krishna became 16,108 Krishnas, so that each wife could be with her husband. Just like here you are, husband and wife. That's because Krishna is an equal opportunity employer. He keeps everybody happy. So, the first queen, Rukmini, and this is the story of their first son. It is said that Cupid, who is directly part and parcel of Lord Vasudev, was formerly burned to ashes by the anger of Lord Shiva. And he took birth from the womb of Rukmini, begotten by Krishna. This Kamadev is a demigod from the heavenly planets and is especially capable of inducing lusty desires. It is said that this Cupid Kamadev has five arrows representing sound, sight, smell, taste, and touch. And when he shoots his arrows into the heart, one becomes attracted by the opposite. And thus, one becomes in love. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has many grades of parts and parcels. But the quadruple expansions, everyone say, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, are directly in the Vishnu category. Vishnu category means the category of God Himself. We are in the Jiva Tattva category, in the category of living beings. Kama, or Cupid, who later took his birth from the womb of Rukmini, was also named Pradyumna. But he cannot be the Pradyumna of the Vishnu category. He belongs to the category of Jiva Tattva, which means you could, if you wanted to, one day become Cupid. You can become Indra, because these positions of demigods are just like posts. It's like we have President Obama. If he doesn't win re-election, someone else will be president. So, Indra, Chandra, Kamadev, even Lord Brahma, these are positions. And if you qualify yourself, not by votes, not like the American presidency, where you can do politics and buy votes, no. In order to become a demigod, you have to become qualified. But you can become, if you like. But for the special power in the category of demigods, this Pradyumna was part and parcel of the supreme prowess of Lord Pradyumna. Therefore, when Cupid was burned to ashes by the anger of Lord Shiva, he merged into the body of Lord Vasudev, and to get his body again, he was begotten in the womb of Rukmini by Lord Krishna himself. Thus he was born as the son of Krishna and celebrated by the name Pradyumna. Because he was begotten by Lord Krishna directly, his qualities were most similar to those of Krishna. As we say in America, like father, like the son. Just like now, today is my birthday. I'm 62, and I thought it would never happen, but my wife has pointed out You know what? You have become just like your father. That could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. I like to think that I have gotten the best qualities of both my mother and father, not the bad qualities. But my wife might tell you differently. But she's not here tonight, so I don't have to deal with that. All right, let's go to part two. There was a demon, because in all of these Krishna Leelas, there's always a demon coming through, all the time. Whether it's in Vrindavan, right from the start, a demon. In Mathura, there were demons. In Dwaraka, there were demons. That was the nature of Krishna's pastimes. There was a demon of the name Shambhara, who was destined to be killed by this Prajumna. The Shambhara demon knew his destiny. And as soon as he learned that Prajumna was born, he took the shape of a woman and kidnapped the baby from the maternity home less than 10 days after birth. The demon took him and threw him directly into the sea. So Dwaraka is on the western side of India and was actually constructed by Krishna to be a city within the sea. That was revealed earlier when Jarasandha attacked Mathura for the 18th time, and he was assisted by another demon, Kalayavana. Krishna was very concerned for the residents of Mathura. So he created a city in the sea, Dwaraka. The residents of Mathura went to sleep at night, and when they woke up, they were several hundreds, if not thousand miles, transported to Dwaraka. When we go on a plane, right? Security, you have to fly on the plane, right? So much trouble. Krishna's airline is very good. Take your rest, wake up, you're there. That's the way to go. The demon took him and threw him directly into the sea. But as it is said, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. You all know that line? That's Hindi, right? Whoever is protected by Krishna, no one can kill. And whoever is destined to be killed by Krishna, no one can protect. When Prajumna was thrown into the sea, a big fish immediately swallowed him. That fish was caught by a fisherman, and that fish was sold to the Shambhara demon. In the kitchen of the demon was a maidservant whose name was Mayavati. This woman had formerly been the wife of Cupid, known as Rati. When the fish was presented to the demon Shambhara, it was taken charge of by his cook, who was to make it into a palatable fish preparation. When the cook was cutting the fish, he found within the stomach a nice little baby, which he immediately presented to Mayavati, who was an assistant in the kitchen affairs. The woman was surprised to see how such a nice baby could remain within the belly of a fish, and the situation perplexed her. Just then, the great sage Narada then appeared and explained to her about the birth of Prajumna and how the baby had been taken away by Shambhara and later thrown into the sea. In this way, the whole story was disclosed to Mayavati. Mayavati knew that she had previously been Rati, the wife of Cupid, and her husband had been burned to ashes by the wrath of Lord Shiva. She was always expecting him to come back in a material form. This woman, Mayavati, was engaged in cooking rice and dal in the kitchen. And when she got this nice baby and understood that it was Cupid, her own husband, she naturally took charge of him and with great affection began to bathe him regularly. Miraculously, the baby swiftly grew up and within a very short period became a beautiful young man. His eyes were just like the petals of lotus flowers. His arms were long, extending down to his knees. Anyone who happened to see him was captivated by his bodily beauty. Mayavati could understand that her former husband, Cupid, now born as Pradyumna, had grown into such a nice young man. And she gradually became captivated and fell in love. Smiling before him with a feminine attractiveness, she expressed her desire to be united with him. But he therefore inquired, "How is it possible that first you were affectionate like a mother, and now you are expressing the symptoms of conjugal love? What is the reason for such a change?" After hearing this statement from Pradyumna, the woman, Urati, replied, "My dear son, you are the son of Lord Krishna. Before you were 10 days old, you were stolen by the Shambhara demon, and you were thrown into the ocean and swallowed by a fish. In this way, you have come under my care. But actually, in your former life as Cupid, I was your wife. Therefore, my manifestation of conjugal love is not at all incompatible. The Shambhara demon wants to kill you, and he is endowed with various mystic powers. Therefore, before he again attempts to kill you, you should kill him as soon as possible with your divine power. Since you were stolen by Shambhara, your mother, Rukmini Devi, has been in a very grievous condition, like a bird who has lost her babies. She is naturally very affectionate toward you, and since you have been taken away from her, she has been living like a cow, aggrieved by the loss of its calf." Now we will go to part 3. Everyone chant with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, come on. Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Mayavati had mystic knowledge of supernatural powers. Supernatural powers are generally known as Maya. And to surpass all such powers, there is another supernatural power called Mahamaya. Mayavati had that knowledge of the mystic power of Mahamaya, and she delivered to Pradyumna this specific energetic power. In order to defeat the mystic powers of the Shambhara demon, thus being empowered by his wife, Pradyumna immediately went before Shambhara and challenged him to fight. Pradyumna addressed him in very strong language so that his temper would be agitated and he would be moved to fight. hearing Prajumna's words, the demon Shambhara, feeling insulted, felt just like a snake feels after being struck by someone's leg. A serpent cannot tolerate being kicked by another animal or by a man, and it immediately bites its opponent. Shambhara felt the words of Prajumna as if they were a kick. He immediately took up his club in his hand and appeared before Prajumna to fight. Roaring like a thundering cloud in great anger, the demon began to beat Prajumna with his club, just as a thunderbolt beats a mountain. Prajumna protected himself with his own club and eventually struck the demon very severely. In this way, the fighting between Shambhara and Prajumna began in earnest. But Shambhara knew the art of mystic powers and could raise himself in the sky, and he could fight from outer space. There is another demon of the name Mayadhanava, and Shambhara had learned many mystic powers from him. He thus raised himself high in the sky and threw various types of weapons at the body of Prajumna. To combat the mystic powers of Shambhara, Prajumna invoked another mystic power known as Mahavidya, which was different from the black mystic power. This Mahavidya mystic power is based on the quality of goodness. Shambhara, understanding that his enemy was formidable, took assistance from various kinds of demoniac mystic powers belonging to the Guyakas, Gandharvas, Pishachas, snakes, and Rakshasas. But although the demon exhibited his mystic powers and took shelter of supernatural strength, Prajumna was able to counteract his strength and powers. By the superior power of Mahavidya, but Shambhara was defeated in every respect. Prajumna took his sword and immediately cut off the demon's head, which was decorated with a helmet and valuable jewels. When Prajumna thus killed the demon, all the demigods in the higher planetary systems showered flowers upon him. One more time, please chant with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prajumna's wife, Mayavati, could travel in outer space, and therefore she took him to his father's capital, Dwaraka, through the airwaves. They passed above the palace of Lord Krishna and came down just like a cloud comes down with lightning. In the inner sanction of the palace is known as Antapura, or private apartments. Prajumna and Mayavati could see many women there, and thus they sat down among them. When the woman saw Prajumna dressed in yellow garments with very long arms, curling hair, beautiful red eyes, a smiling face, jewelry, and ornaments, they could at once recognize him as being somebody just like Krishna. They all felt themselves very much bashful, and they thought that Krishna had appeared, and so out of shyness, they wanted to hide in a different corner of the palace. But when the women saw, however, that not all the characteristics of Krishna were present in the personality of Pradyumna, out of curiosity, they came back to see him and his wife, Mayavati. So one of those symptoms that distinguishes Krishna from anyone else, on Krishna's chest, he has three hairs, curling hairs. It is called Sri Vatsa. That Sri Vatsa is the mark of the goddess Lakshmi. That's why one of Krishna's names is Madhava. Everyone say
Madhava.
Madhava means he who is the husband of the goddess of fortune. So those three curls of hair. Now those hairs are sometimes described as gold streaks or silver streaks or whitish streaks. Don't ask me why it is described in three different colors. I don't know. But that's how it's described. Gold, silver, and whitish. So when you see those three marks, now you know, yes, this is Krishna. So even though Pradyumna looked almost like Krishna, when they saw, oh, he doesn't, then they knew, oh, this is not Krishna. Out of curiosity, they came back to see him and his wife, Mayavati. All of them were conjecturing as to who he was, for he was so beautiful. Among the women was Rukmini Devi, who was equally beautiful with her lotus-like eyes. It is said that when Rukmini was kidnapped by Krishna, because Rukmini was to be married to Shishupal, but Rukmini wrote a letter and gave it not to FedEx, but she gave the letter to a Brahmin. And in the letter, Rukmini told Krishna, I'm going to be married within 3 days. You have to come and kidnap me. I don't want anybody else. And Rukmini told Krishna when to arrive. She said, the day of my marriage, there is a ceremony where I enter the temple of Ambika, goddess Durga. When I come out of that temple, that's when you come. So, just at that moment, Krishna came with his chariot, took Rukmini on his chariot, and they ran off. And lived happily ever after. So it was said that when Rukmini came out of the Ambika temple, all the princes and kings who were on their horses fell off because Rukmini was that beautiful. Her beauty was so stunning, they fell off their horses. So Rukmini was most beautiful. Seeing Pradyumna, Rukmini naturally remembered her own son, and milk began to flow from her breast out of motherly affection. She then began to wonder, who is this beautiful young boy? He appears to be a most beautiful person. Who is that fortunate young woman married to him? And who is the mother able to conceive this nice boy in her womb? How have they met? Remembering my own son who was stolen from the maternity home, I can only guess that if he is living somewhere, he might have grown up by this time to be like this boy. Simply by intuition, Rukmini could understand that this Pradyumna was her own lost son. So when I was growing up, before coming to Krishna consciousness, I had heard so often, woman's intuition. Here it is confirmed. Women have that special talent called women's intuition. That's very good. Rukmini has it. She could also observe that Pradyumna resembled Lord Krishna in every respect. I'll tell you why. I totally believe women's intuition. I have been married. So let's see, I got married in 1980. So it is now 2012. How many years is that?
22.
No, 30. 30.
32.
32 years. I would say that's a good amount of time. So within 32 years, it has been proven to me, I'm speaking very honestly, within 32 years, my wife, women's intuition, has told me many things. Don't do this, do this, do this, don't do this. And being a typical, stubborn, egotistical man, I never listened. And every time, I would have to come back and admit, you know what? You were right. So finally, after about 20 years, I finally recognized that, you know what? From now on, I'm just going to do what she says because she's always right. You like that, Minnie?
I love it.
So, hey, better late than never. Better late than never. She could also observe that Pradyumna resembled Lord Krishna in every respect. She was struck with wonder as to how he could have acquired all the symptoms of Krishna. She therefore began to think more confidently that the boy must be her own grown-up son because she felt so much affection for him. And as an auspicious sign, her left arm was trembling. At that very moment, Lord Krishna, along with his mother and father, Devaki and Vasudev, appeared on the scene. Krishna, being God, could understand everything. Yet, in that situation, he remained silent. That's why I always say, Krishna is cool. He is the coolest.
Cool dude.
Huh? However, by the desire of Lord Krishna, the great sage Narada appeared, and he disclosed all the incidents. How Pradyumna had been stolen from the maternity home, how he had grown up, and how he had come there with his wife Mayavati, who had formerly been Rati, the wife of Cupid. When everyone was informed of the mysterious disappearance of Pradyumna and how he had grown up, they were all struck with wonder because they had finally gotten back their dead son. After they were almost hopeless of his return, when they understood that it was Pradyumna who was present, they received him with great delight. One after another, all the members of the family, Devaki, Vasudev, Krishna, Balaram, Rukmini, and all the women of the family, embraced Pradyumna and his wife, Mayavati. When the news of Pradyumna's return spread all over the city of Dwaraka, all the astonished citizens came with great eagerness to see the lost Pradyumna. They all said, "The dead son has come back. What can be more pleasing than this?" And thus they lived happily ever after. And one more thing that we can say in this connection, that today we had I think it's over now, the solar eclipse. So, we did the best possible thing we could have done during the eclipse. By hearing this Krishna Katha, we have not only nullified any bad thing, but we have guaranteed for ourselves total auspiciousness. Just by hearing these narrations of Krishna, because there is a very, very strong statement by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvasaha jatva dehang punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. What does Krishna say in that verse? Krishna says that if you are able to understand in truth his appearance, his activities, his lila, then this is your last birth in the material world. If you can understand Krishna in truth, at the end, you will join Krishna in his abode. So there is great, great benefit hearing narrations about Krishna. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama. Hare Hare. And now we have a